This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
One of the things that is so special about Jesus Christ and what he did for us here on this earth is that from the foundation of the world, God had planned to send his son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to redeem us from our sins, to set us free from iniquity. He came to utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. From our opening passage in Psalm 78, beginning at verse 1, we read, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will utter my mouth in a parable, and will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." Jesus came to do this, to utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. And we're going to look at Matthew chapter 13. Jesus actually did come speaking in parables, as it talks about in Psalm 78, verse 2. We're going to look at Matthew 13, where Jesus said that he spoke in parables to utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. And this is one thing that you see throughout the gospel. In fact, in Matthew, quite often, Matthew actually was written for Jewish people. And quite often, Matthew will actually say, "This was done that it might be fulfilled, which was written." You see, from Moses and the prophets, and even the Psalms testify about Jesus Christ and actually proclaim the gospel that we are sinners, that we need a Savior, and that the blood of bulls and goats couldn't really save us. It was just temporary until Jesus could come and shed his blood on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. But one thing is certain, and one thing that you will know if you read the New Testament, is that not everyone that Jesus presented the good news to received it. Not everyone that heard him was happy that he was alive, was happy that God had sent him there. In fact, many didn't even believe. In fact, most even didn't believe that he came from God. Most thought he was an imposter. Many were jealous of him because they wanted to get the attention. They wanted people to praise them. They didn't want people to praise Jesus. And so we'll go and actually look at Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So Jesus here is going out. The multitudes are gathered to him. So there were a lot of people that were interested in what he had to say. But as you'll see, as we go on through this chapter, most of them had no clue what he was talking about. And most of them really were not clear that he was God and that he had come to save them. And so, but he's speaking to the multitudes. He gets in a boat, and the multitudes are on the shore, and he is projecting his voice across the water so that they can better hear him. Then in verse 3, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And that last verse there, verse 9, "he who has ears to hear, let him hear," is key to understanding this passage, because there were many people that were there hearing him. But there's a difference in physically being able to hear someone and actually being able to understand what they are saying and comprehending. And this is especially true when we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that God sent his only Son to the earth to die on the cross for our sins. You see, there are many people that have heard about Jesus. There are many people, in fact, I would say that you would be hard-pressed to find someone in the United States that didn't know about Jesus. Now, certainly there are people that raise their kids to not believe, and they don't tell them about the story of Jesus. But at some point in their life, their people are going to hear about Jesus. But there's a difference in hearing about him and hearing and understanding that he came to die on the cross for my sins and for your sins, and that we need to repent of our sins and cry out to him for forgiveness. And in verse 10, we go on and said, "And the disciples came to him and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?'" So they're wondering, why are you speaking in parables? And of course, Jesus was actually fulfilling scripture from Psalm 78. "I will speak to them in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the earth." And so Jesus is fulfilling this passage, but the disciples are asking, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been given." So you see here God's sovereignty in salvation. And one thing is clear, for Jesus to be crucified, someone had to reject him. In fact, really, the majority had to reject him for him to be crucified. But crucifixion was necessary. It was necessary for him, for his blood to be shed so that our sins could be forgiven. And his life was given as a ransom for many. But in order for that to happen, really the majority of the people had to reject him. Because the majority of the people, it was necessary for the majority of people to cry out, "Crucify him." You see, if the majority of people had been standing and crying out, he's a good man, he's from God, and he is the Messiah, and only a small portion of people would have been crying out, "Crucify him," he never would have been crucified. And we would still be dead in our trespasses of sin. But it was necessary for the multitude to reject the good news that he had come to share and to save and to give his life as a ransom for many. So to the multitudes, it wasn't actually given for salvation, but to a select few, for the disciples, it was given. And we know that there were more that were saved than just those few. And even after his death, burial, and resurrection, and subsequent ascension unto the Father, the gospel was preached to the Jews, and many, in fact, on that first time, over 3,000 accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, repented of their sins, and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the gospel was presented even to the multitudes, even to those who had rejected him, even to those who had cried out, "Crucify him." The gospel was preached, and they were given an opportunity to repent. But we see here it had been given to them, to the disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it had not been given. Verse 12, "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but he who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." And so you see, when we are looking at this, we're talking about the understanding of God. You know, we're not talking, he's not talking really about, possessions or money or wealth or anything like that. Although really this principle does play out quite a bit. You do see people that don't have much money, that have a difficult time, much more difficult time, obtaining wealth than those who already have wealth, because the people that have wealth have learned. But Jesus here is really using this to drive the point home that it's important to understand God. It's important to have knowledge of God, not just earthly wisdom, but to actually read the Bible, to meditate upon it, to study it, to ponder it, to have that wisdom that comes from God and knowledge of God, and to seek him and to seek to understand. The disciples were not like the multitudes. The multitudes heard Jesus and they heard the parables and then they went away. You see, the disciples actually pressed in. They actually came, and these were people that had actually left everything to follow him. But the disciples actually sought him, and they asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables, and what does this mean?" And Jesus said that, again, that it hadn't been given to the multitudes to understand, but it had been given to the disciples. And going on in verse 14, Jesus says, "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, who says, 'Hearing, you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing, you will see, and not perceive.'" And it's interesting, if you go back to that passage in Isaiah and look, you'll actually see that Isaiah was called to preach to the people of Israel. And Isaiah asked, "How long, Lord?" And God says, "Until their heart is grown dull, until they don't hear," until really he was called to preach the gospel, to preach and call them to repentance. But God actually told him, "They're going to reject you. They're going to not hear you. They're not going to listen." And that was actually God's plan at that point, was to bring his judgment upon the children of Israel. And his plan for Israel in the time of Jesus was for the majority to reject him, so that they could call for him to be crucified, so that he could give his life as a ransom for many. And so that our generation and many generations to come could actually repent of their sins and turn and serve him. And so he says that in this, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, "Hearing, you will hear and not shall not understand, and seeing, you will see and not perceive." So the multitudes that were on, on the shore that were hearing him that didn't stay around afterward and ask, what is it that you're saying? See, the disciples didn't understand either. And they were at, but they stayed around and asked, explain this to us. Explain this. Show us what it is that you want us to learn, because we're trying to figure this out. But the multitudes, they went away. They didn't stick around, and they didn't ask the questions to learn. And he goes on in verse 15, it says, for the heart of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So in other words, their hearts had grown dull. Now, what does the Bible, when the Bible talks about heart here, it's not talking about the heart that pumps blood, that supplies life to our body. Really, when the Bible talks about the heart, the Bible is talking about our mind, our will, our emotions. It's talking about really the inner core of man. And he says that their heart had grown dull. So they were hearing, they were glad to hear the words of Jesus, but they didn't have a heart that was prepared to receive the Word of God and to accept the Word of God and to believe the Word of God. And had their heart been ready to accept the Word of God and to believe the Word of God, they would have seen and they would have heard, and God would have, Jesus actually would have healed them. What did they need to be healed of? Well, certainly there were some that needed to be healed of physical infirmities. But Jesus came not only to heal people of physical infirmities, Jesus came to heal people's hearts, to heal the brokenhearted, those who have been disappointed, those who have been beat on, those who have been trampled, those who have been abused, those who have had mental issues. Jesus came to set the brokenhearted free. He came to not only forgive us of our sins, but he came to set us free from our sins. And that's that hope is still offered to each and every one of us if we have a heart to hear, if our heart is not hardened, if our heart is soft, if we hear and we understand, if we see and we seek after him, if we hear with our ears and see with our eyes and understand, then what happens is we will understand, we will see, and God can actually do a work in us to forgive us of our sins, to heal us, to set us free from all unrighteousness. And going on here in verse 16, he says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. So, and here he's talking really about, you know, how blessed they are for seeing, how blessed they are for hearing. For many prophets, and the Bible talks about this in later in the New Testament, I believe the Apostle Paul is the one that talked about this, that there were prophets from of old had looked and had pondered and had hoped to actually see the things and to understand the things about Jesus. And they had pondered how he would come and when he would come and what the manner of this would be and what time this would be and what it would be like to actually see Jesus and hear him. And yet they weren't able to do that, but they prophesied about it, and the disciples were able to hear and to see. Of course, again, the multitudes were able to hear and to see as well, but they didn't press in. They didn't They didn't cry. They didn't have hearts that were ready to receive. And they didn't press in and ask Jesus to explain himself to them. And so Jesus actually goes on and he explains the parable of the sower in verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the word by the wayside. So first he talks about someone who receives the word by the wayside. You know, seed is just being indiscriminately scattered. And some of it's on the wayside. The person who doesn't understand, who hears but doesn't understand, the enemy, who's the enemy? The enemy is the devil. And his demons come and snatch what that seed, and it doesn't bear forth any fruit. In verse 20, we read, but he who receives the seed on stony places is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So here we see the people, the seed that's sown on stony ground that shot up real quick. And you probably have seen people like this. Maybe you've even been like this at one point where you heard the word of God. You were excited. You wanted to know more about God, and you shot up, and it looked like you were bearing forth fruit, or maybe someone else that you know looked like they were bearing forth fruit. And then when hard times come, when you start seeing persecution, when you start seeing tribulation, when people start making fun of you for your faith, when people start persecuting, when there's actually a cost for serving the Lord and for calling out to him. And by the way, in the first century, there was definitely a cost for serving the Lord. Of the disciples, most of them were actually put to death. Of course, Judas committed suicide, but most of those who actually stayed and followed him were actually put to death. And some of them were crucified. Some of them were flogged. The Apostle Paul was shipwrecked many times. He was beaten with rods. The Apostle Peter was crucified upside down. The Apostle John wasn't actually killed for his faith, but it wasn't for lack of attempt. They actually boiled him in oil at one point, and he survived. But we see that there was a lot of suffering and a lot of persecution that Christians, those who named the name of Christ, had to endure back then. And the faith had to be real in order to actually continue on. You actually had to have roots. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to not only just shoot up real quick, he wants us to have roots. It's necessary for plants to have a good root system to be healthy. And in verse 22, now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and he becomes unfruitful. So those who hear the word there's tribulations, there's struggles, there's trials in our life, and there's also the deceitfulness of riches, seeking after things rather than seeking after God. They come in and choke out the word, and it doesn't bear forth any fruit. Verse 23, but he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So here, this is the condition of the heart, that the heart is soft, not hard, and receives the word And it not only shoots up quickly, but it also has roots. It also, the faith within us actually has roots because our hearts are soft. We hear the Word of God and understand it, and the Word is able to bear forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, I remember hearing this passage when I was young and wondering, wow, you know, I need to really prepare my heart. But you know what? I'm a gardener, and I can tell you this, that none of the seed that I have planted has actually gone out into the garden and prepared the soil or made the soil ready. You see, God is the one that makes our hearts ready to receive the good news of Jesus Christ. And as we talked last week, you know, it is appropriate to pray to God. It's appropriate to seek God. It's appropriate even to fast that God would reveal himself to us. But God is the one that needs to do a work in our lives. And we do need to pray. And we do need to seek him. We need to stay around, hang around after the multitudes are gone, after the people that just hear the superficial word, but don't understand, and they just leave and they go away wondering, what in the world was he talking about? We need to seek God. We need to press in. And we need to ask that he would do a work in our lives and help us, that he would prepare our hearts, that he would help us to have hearts that are ready to receive the Word of God so that the Word can bear forth fruit in our lives. Let us seek him and let us repent of our sins and serve him and have hearts that are ready to receive the Word of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
This time of year, some people fast certain things, commonly red meat on Fridays. Jesus said that after his death, his disciples would fast, and he didn't limit it to a certain time of the year. Fasting on a regular basis can have a profound impact on your physical and spiritual life. Consider periodically fasting something and spending extra time praying and reading the Bible, and see the positive impacts on your life.
Your home. I don't know where you eat your meals or where you talk on the phone. I don't know if you got a cook, a butler, or a maid. I don't know if you got a yard with a hammock in the shade. I don't know if you got some shelter, say a place to hide. I don't know if you live with friends and who you can confide. I don't know if you got a family, say a mom or dad. I don't know if you feel love at all, but I bet you wish you had. Come and go with me to my father's house. Come and go with me to my father's house. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of room. A big, big table with lots and lots of food. A big, big yard where we can play football. A big, big house. It's my father.